Good morning again. Good to see everyone here this morning. Today our call to worship is going to be from Romans 14, 10 through 12, and it's in reference to the coming of God's kingdom. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Glorious Father, we ask that you have mercy upon us in the hours of the judgment. We know that we do not deserve this mercy or forgiveness, as our many sins have separated us from you and your glory, Lord. Please help us to walk in your light and have the strength to do your works here on earth before the hour of your coming. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning our guest speaker is Reverend Denny Klumper. He comes to us from the Phillips home in Sioux Falls.
All right. My wife Glenny and I are from Phillips home in Sioux Falls. For those of you who don't know what that is, we are a community of women. We live together in community where women can deal with issues and specifically related to sexual trauma and exploitation. So it's quite interesting. And before I go into that, though, I believe I would like to talk to you a little bit about what brought us to that ministry. Glenny and I both grew up in Christian homes. We went to church. It wasn't an option. We've been to church since before we were born. Literally. And we went to every church function that was available. And I went through a Christian school. Grades 1 through 12. We went to every Sunday school class, daily vacation Bible school, everything. Bible studies as we got older. We knew what was in this book. For me, something significant happened in my life in 1978. See, you can know everything that's in this book, every story, and still possible to not understand that God cares about you and is interested in you personally. In 1978, I came to the realization, through the help of a friend, that God cared about what happened to me. That was a new revelation to me. And my life changed radically at that point when I realized you could ask God to come and live in you and he would do it. Well, I was quite excited and began searching everywhere for people who believed with my newfound teaching. And I went to Bible studies, home Bible studies, searched for churches. And in 1984, Glenny and I were married in an excited new church. Unfortunately, sometimes things in church are a little rocky. I hope none of you have experienced that. Unfortunately, too many people have. I think we've gone through 4 church splits and 2 church closures. It's just sort of an unfortunate reality, it seems, in the United States. We had just gone through one of these church closures and we're drifting around kind of like, well, God, what do you want from us? And in 1997, he told us, well, I think I want you to go to seminary. We're like, seminary, really? But we were pretty sure it was him, and we did it. Graduated in the year 2000. We both have Masters of Divinity degrees. Woohoo! No, it was fun. Okay, I can't say fun. It was very interesting. We met some really cool people and graduated with a lot of fanfare. When you graduate from seminary, it's expected that you're going to pastor a church. I mean, why else would you go to seminary, right? However, pastoring is only one of the gifts listed in Ephesians when it talks about spiritual leaders. But we did what was expected, and we took a church, pastored for 7 years. The church was quite introspective. And in our reading, we realize that Christianity in America, in many ways, is in decline. In fact, right now, a survey is out that just listed the three countries most in need of evangelization. India, China, and the United States? That's right, the United States is number three on that list. People are not going to church. They're not learning about God. Why? Well, in that whole process, this is hanging in the back of my mind, this decline of Christianity or decline of the church in the United States. And I was reading through the Bible kind of, I don't know, randomly. And a scripture struck me like a bolt of lightning out of the blue sky. If you can imagine a bolt of lightning striking right now, most of us would be a little bit surprised. And that's kind of how I was when I read this scripture. I wasn't sure what it meant at the time, but I knew it was significant. The scripture is found in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. If you want to look it up in your own Bible, I'm going to give you my rendering of this scripture. I might stop and interrupt it a little bit once in a while with my commentary. So bear with me. This is the words of Jesus. And he's speaking right before the last Passover. In other words, this is right before the crucifixion. This is one of the last teachings that he gives. And he knows that. This major teaching, we often think of Jesus teaching in parables. But when Jesus teaches in parables, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and you've read those, right? The kingdom of heaven is like a seed that's planted and grows and produces crops. The kingdom of heaven is like a bush that grows in the garden. A mustard comes out of a little mustard seed and grows into a great bush. The kingdom of heaven is not a bush, it's like the bush. And so on. Those words are not found in this scripture. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes with his holy angels. He refers to himself as the Son of Man. What he's saying is, when I come and I'm a human being like you. We tend to think of Jesus as God, and he is. But to him it was important to remind us he's a human being as well. Now, not just any human being, of course. Because he's going to be coming with his holy angels. It says, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Well, when I was reading that, my attention was captured almost right away. Because I'm getting in my mind a picture of Jesus coming with all these angels, and he's sitting on a throne, a glorious throne. Now, I don't know if you know what a glorious throne is. I don't. I've never seen one, but I have a feeling that it's a big deal. So Jesus is sitting on this glorious throne with all these angels, and all the nations of the world are gathered to him. Okay, now we've got a pretty big crowd. There's a lot of people, a lot of angels, and in the center of this, the focus is Jesus on this glorious throne. Authority, power. When he speaks, people are going to be listening. And he does speak. Because he separates the people like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And the sheep he places on his right-hand side, and the goats on his left. Then he will turn to the ones on his right-hand side, the sheep, and says to them, "Blessed are you of my Father. Enter into the reward prepared for you from the creation of the world." Wow. There's one translation that says, "Enter into the reward prepared from the foundation of the earth." It's kind of old English, but I like that sort of authority. From the beginning of time, this has been prepared for you. This reward. I'm thinking these guys are now thinking to themselves, okay, we're off to a pretty good start here. But Jesus follows up with the why. He says, "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was alone, and you invited me into your home. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." It struck me that as a body of believers in the United States, these are things we've sometimes neglected. Oh, we like to send our money to the poor people in Africa. And that's good. But this is also something that we need to do individually. I think it's really cool that the sheep respond to him with the words, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and we fed you? Or thirsty and gave you a drink of water? When did we see you naked?" We would have remembered that. "And given you clothing? When did we see you lonely and we invited you in? When were you sick that we cared for you? Or in prison that we visited you?" And you know what Jesus responds. "Insomuch as you've done it to the least of my family, my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me." I thought about that scripture verse actually for about 5 years. It just was in the back of my mind all the time. All the time. God, what is it that you want me to get out of this? And it really wasn't until we'd been at Phillips Home for a couple of years that it started to click. And I think the one that really did it for me, the one event, was we had a young lady come to us. Actually, it started earlier than that. I work in a grocery store. And a woman came up to me in the grocery store, and she reached down to her belt and pulled off a badge and held it up. Now, generally, for most people, it's not good when somebody shows you a badge. And she said, "I'm a federal parole officer. I'm like, "Okay." She said, "You guys have a home in Sioux Falls, don't you?" I said, "Well, yeah, we do." She said, "I think I have somebody that needs your home." I said, "Okay, we'll interview her and see if she fits." She did fit, and she moved in. Very quiet young lady. And the thing that sticks out to in my mind at the beginning of our time with her is at Phillips Home, we have one meal together every day. We live in community. We share one meal at the table every day. And she came and sat down. And some of the other girls had been there for a while. And so they're laughing and joking, and she doesn't say a thing. She just sits there, kind of looking straight ahead. And after prayer, everybody starts piling food on their plate, and we like to have the good Midwestern meal, meat, potatoes, salad, the whole bit. She doesn't put anything on her plate. And I'm watching out of the corner of my eye, and pretty soon she pours herself a glass of water and takes one slice of white bread, tears a piece off, dips it in the water, and puts it in her mouth. That's all she ate. So after the meal, Glennie and I talked, and I said, "You really need to get with her and see what's going on. She's got all this food in front of her, and all she eats is white bread dipped in water." So Glennie talked with her. It seems that through the years of neglect and abuse, and I think she was probably 23 at the time, the teeth that weren't abscessed were broken out. She couldn't chew. Her team got together with us, and we found an oral surgeon who had worked pro bono because she was just coming out of prison. She had nothing. And they fixed up her teeth and gave her a set of dentures. My goodness, she had a big, bright smile on her face. She started eating, and before long, she's joking around with everybody else. And it occurred to me, I was sick, and you cared for me. I was hungry, and you made it possible for me to be able to eat. The stories of the women at Phillips Home are horrific, some of them, quite frankly. Stories of abuse, stories of being used in the most terrible ways. They come to us, and we provide them a place to stay. We try to tell them God loves you. Maybe you don't feel anybody else has ever loved you. And love isn't always a good word for them because they associate the word love with somebody wanting something from them. Somebody's going to take something from me again. So it takes a little while. When women move into Phillips Home, we ask them to make a commitment to stay with us for 6 months. For most, that's not nearly enough. We've had stories of women who were given away by their mother, abused by their father, their uncles. Women left for dead. But these are Jesus' sisters, according to this scripture. This is what God is looking for. This is what God is noticing. And when we as Christians become so introspective and only worry about ourselves that we overlook the people that are left behind by society, the disenfranchised, if you will, we're missing God's heart. God wants to be involved in our lives to help other human beings. And I believe this is part of the reason the church in the United States is in decline. We've become so introspective that we miss the hurting people on the street. We've had women come to us who had been living on the street in Sioux Falls through the winter, and they come to us with frostbite. Most come to us the victims of addiction of some form, because if you get someone addicted, it's pretty easy to control them. You've got a string that you just pull the string and they'll do what you say. But to get away from that addiction is extremely difficult. The church needs to be at the forefront of this battle for people's lives in America. The battles against addiction, the battles against human slavery in its many forms. Right now, in the world, what do you think the largest business is by money that's changed hands? The largest business in the world is illegal drugs. Number two is the sale of human beings. Think about it, that's larger than General Motors. Wow. We as the body of Christ need to be standing up and saying, wait a minute, this is wrong. We as the body of Christ need to be praying, God, intervene. And we as the body of Christ need to be looking at people one at a time like Jesus does. This is his sister. This is his brother. I want to congratulate you. The Winter Church here has partnered with us a couple of times now. One time you partnered with us to put new flooring in our kitchen. It was badly needed. We had holes in the old flooring. People were stubbing their toes on the linoleum. And the linoleum shouldn't be a place where you stub your toes. And now, just a few weeks back, you came and installed windows. 5 windows. Upstairs windows, yay! And you paid for them. We want to say thank you. I believe in this great day of the Lord, when we're gathered before his glorious throne, he will turn to us and say, way to go. Enter into the rest prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is going to be amazing. Pray with me a moment. Father, we thank you that you are interested in our day-to-day lives, that you care about what we do, and that what we do matters. Father, we do pray against the scourge of human trafficking. We pray against the scourge of drug abuse and ask, Lord, that you would move your people to help. I thank you, Lord, that you hear us and you're not just incompetent or incapable, but you are the God who created the heavens and the earth. So we just thank you for hearing our prayers now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have the benediction. As we go through this week, may the beauty of our Lord be reflected in our eyes. May the love of our Lord be reflected in what we do. The wisdom of our Lord be reflected in our words, and the knowledge of God flow from our heart, that all might see, and in seeing, believe. Have a great week.